Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Pat's straight in for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Paul says this is the most interactive sports radio show in Houston, and I need to keep that moving. So 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You want to get in on your Houston Astros. That is the two-way sports talk hotline for you to do so. Also, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on Twitter at PCreighton1, at Sean A. Mapes. Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass, keeping the show running and making sure nobody, and I mean nobody, calls up here and says bad words the FCC would be angry at us about. He is the gatekeeper. He is the keymaster. He does not allow that. On the ESPN 975 app, ESPN975.com, tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN 975. Take us with everywhere you go. You know you want to. You know you want to. There is some shenanigans on the Twitch feed saying that Sean Mapes only used to be the man, not giving you your props for being the man. I think you may have to, like, ban somebody.
What? What? Man, it's like anything. They build you up and then they tear you down. I had a good run, but now, yeah, I'll have to be a Twitch tyrant like so many other people at the station.
All love is temporary.
Yeah.
All love is temporary. Hate is forever. All love is temporary.
I had a good run as being generally well-liked on the Twitch. But
now, I have some issues with the Astros base running, because it's freaking terrible. And I don't understand how a team that's been so fundamentally sound. Look, I know they have guys who aren't always the best base runners, but they've made some just decisions that make you want to blow things up. Yesterday, on a single to center field, Jake Myers stops, turns around, doesn't get a good read on the ball dropping, and winds up not scoring. The Astros would then go on not to score because the offense would fail. Gary Pettis was the third base coach. Guy was a really good base stealer in his day. How is Gary Pettis not making the read for Jake Myers? Myers should have an extended lead off second base, and his third base coach should be telling him, get here, get here. And then once his third base coach decides, you know what, you can score or you can't score, either it's hold, hold, or go, go, go. It's the language isn't really complicated. But the point is, the ball is behind you. The coach should be the one making the read because the ball is behind you. It's the whole reason they have coaches. They show the video. You see Pettis popping in. Pettis looks like he wasn't even following a play. I mean, Myers is like 10 feet from third base when he gives him a hold sign. What the hell was he doing? Then, Corey Jolks is at third base. Play goes to first, and he's dancing off third base like, I don't know, I'm trying to make a read here. And he runs himself right into an out. On that kind of play, if you're like, you know, trying to determine whether or not you're going to break, A, you have to have a big secondary lead off third base, and B, as soon as the fielder lets the ball go out of his hands, you're going. Instead, he stopped, and then he was caught. What the hell is Gary Pettis doing? Tell him to go right away, or tell him to get his ass back to third base. No coach should be letting rookies determine whether they're going or not. Corey's got a lot of speed, but it's a total brain lock there. And then, Sean, my favorite. This was my favorite. Because on both of those base running gaffes, the broadcast team had nothing to say about third base coach Gary Pettis. Nothing to say. Mauricio Dubon is coming around third to score on a single. They almost said Dubon running through the stop sign. If you go back and listen to that audio, the broadcasters, was it Carl Ravitch and David Cohn and somebody else? Was it Eduardo Perez?
I know he's normally the Sunday Night Baseball guy.
But, you know, at first, they're ready to slam Dubon for running through the sign. Then he scores easily because the throw was way offline. What do? What a great read by Gary Pettis. Are you friggin' kidding me? The clown show umpiring. The clown show broadcasting. Like, are you freaking kidding me? That dude was the reason why two guys didn't score. One of them ran into an out. And here Dubon's like, screw it. I read this ball the whole way. Why? Because the ball was in front of him. Big difference. Ball in front of you, ball behind you. You're at second base, ball behind you, you pick up your coach. Ball in front of you, you can make your own read. And your coach will tell you hold or stay. But you can make your own read. Dubon wasn't even a third base when the left fielder picked up the ball. That's how little respect Dubon had for that throwing arm. And he scored basically with no throw because the throw was so far offline, the catcher never even got the ball. So, yeah, that whole, oh, well, you know, Gary Pettis, what a great job. What butt kissing. And I was talking to a good friend of mine earlier this morning, Howard Chen. He used to work in this market. Ho Chen works with ESPN. Absolutely great dude. When I first moved here, he's the guy who introduced me to Chinatown and all the great restaurants down there. So, early in the game, you know, they have the graphics. And Fox is using this graphic that is like a bucket at the very top, and then it filters down. And gee, that bucket looked an awful lot like a trash can with the Astros logo on it. Now, they did the same graphic for the Dodgers. So it's not like, hey, let's put a trash can up for the Astros. But at the same time, you can't tell me that after the story leaks of Rob Manfred digging up the Astros scandal again, that the guys at Fox weren't like, hey, you know what? Let's tweak the Astros. Let's tweak the fan base. Let's create a new graphic. It won't be a trash can, but it'll kind of look like one. And we'll just let everybody be ticked off. Like, why that was the design for the graphic made no sense other than let's give the bird to the Astros. Hey, if Manfred's still giving them the bird, we should give them the bird too. And then there was a point during the broadcast where Ravitch says, I think at the time Alex Bregman is up and the fans are booing him. And Ravitch says, well, you know, the Astros and the cheating and the booing, you know, it's really been muted. They don't really hear the boos that much anymore. And I'm like, tell me you've never watched an Astros road game without saying you've never watched an Astros road game. The Yankees don't even need to be playing the Astros to have F. Altuve chants before, during, and after the game. This idea that, oh, well, you know, nobody really says anything about the Astros and cheating anymore. The freaking commissioner just did. And you know what happened right after the commissioner, that story came out? Well, who's on after me at night on ESPN National? Freddie and Fitz. And I like Freddie. Freddie Coleman's a good dude. I don't know Fitz. But I know Freddie Coleman. Freddie Coleman's a good dude. But what were they talking about? Oh, the Trash Astros. Oh, they're always going to be the trash throws. Until every player is gone from that 2017 team, they're going to be the trash throws, the trash cans. And then what proceeded to basically go on every single national show, on every single network, for the whole rest of the week? Oh, the trash cans, the trash cans, the trash throws. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Hey, are we going to refer to the Yankees as the New York Needles? Or how about the Arlington Junk Grabbers, because they had lots of needles there too? How many teams can we walk around and be like, steroid cheaters, sticky stuff cheaters, Apple Watch cheaters, bullpen phone cheaters? Somehow only the Astros have ever done anything wrong. And it's that national perspective of, oh, well, you know, the Astros, they were the only ones who were cheating. And we're never going to let them forget. It's the greatest cheating scandal ever. Yeah. The absolute idiocy that goes along with all of this, it's just fed down from the commissioner to national media to the baseball, you know, the top national baseball, because everybody wants their access. Everybody wants their access. The whole reason, you know, 3 years ago I started with the whole orange team bad thing was because every time there was a graphic of the best teams in baseball, despite the fact they were in the ALCS every damn year, oh, the Astros aren't on there. We're talking about, you know, players who are hot, players who are young and up-and-coming players. Probably, oh, there's never an Astro on. Catch these best games, the no Astros logo. Even when things go well, you know, we got to find something negative to write about the Astros, or we just won't write about them at all. There's an article by Joel Sherman in the New York Post talking about contenders who've had pitching woes because of injuries and how big an impact it's made and all that. The Astros got the smallest blurb of, yeah, they're down three pitchers. And that's it. You know, it went on and on about the Yankees and the Rays and the Jays. Astros, yeah, they're missing three guys, but, you know, so what? The fact that the Astros are 5.5 out, and for the last month they've had Brandon Belak and Ronel Blanco in the rotation, that's bigger than a minor miracle. That's like a mid-sized miracle. For all intents and purposes, they should have lost every freaking game those guys started. I know it's fun to bag on Dusty, and look, there's reasons more so this year than any other year that Dusty's been here to question some of the decisions that Dusty's made. But the number of people in my timeline saying Dusty Baker needs to be fired, he just won a World Series. He's a Hall of Fame manager. He's stubborn and stuck in his ways. And yeah, there are certain things he needs to make adjustments about. But we're not even to the All-Star break. This team has been devastated by injuries. You have three starting pitchers at the major league level who are down. Two for the season, one for at least another 3 weeks. Jose Altuve missed 2 months. He has 99 at-bats. Yordan is going to miss 6 weeks. Michael Brantley hasn't taken a swing in the batter's box. They're 6 games over. They still have a positive run differential. They're in second place. They're 5.5 out. There's 3-plus months of the season to go. They've played, 78 games? It's a little more than half the season to go. Fire Dusty is just dumb. It's not happening. There is no way in hell Jim Crane is firing Dusty unless Dusty comes out and says Jim Crane basically murders babies. It's not happening. Patch created for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. ESPN 97.5.com. If you want in, you have to audition.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dubek, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
PC and for Paul G, Paul Gallant Show, here at 975-925. Look, if you guys, if any of you think Jim Crane is firing Dusty Baker or is going to allow Dana Brown to fire Dusty Baker, your psychedelics are stronger than Aaron Rodgers. It is not happening. Not happening. And, you know, again, with the whole, with 3 months into the season, most of you guys last year thought the Yankees were going to win everything last year in June. Oh, well, anybody could have won with the Astros last year. Well, the 2019 team was better and they didn't win. They didn't win one single game in the World Series at home. Not one. So this, oh, well, anybody could have won. That's an idiot's argument. I'd like to think that here in Houston, especially over the last 7 years, we've raised baseball fans who aren't idiots. You're not Yankees fans. You're not Mets fans. I know something about those people. Where you want to fire everybody and DFA everybody. You know, that's the idiot's argument. Man, and it's not like it's one person. Dude, I can't tell you how many people on my timeline on Twitter are just like, fire Dusty, fire Dusty, fire Dusty. Dude won you a world title. He gave your organization legitimacy when you were basically made pariahs by Major League Baseball. He took an injury-ravaged team to Game 7 of the ALCS in 2020. Went to the World Series in 2021. Won the World Series in 2022. Look, there's things I don't agree with Dusty. Okay, I don't agree that Martin Maldonado should be in the lineup. Hell, ever. Sean, in the rundown, you will see in that segment where we did buy, sell, or let it ride, you'll see at the very bottom of that a link for Martin Maldonado's game log. I'd like you to pull that up.
Okay.
And tell me what Martin Maldonado's batting average is in the month of June.
Oh God, counts as a work hazard, so I expect to get a
hostile
hazard.
Work environment.
Oh my God.
Go ahead, I know what it is. Go ahead, tell them what it is.
118.
118.
Ugh.
No Yordan, no Brantley, struggling to score runs. This guy has hit 118 this month, and he is in the lineup every damn day.
Well, he has a 211 on base.
Ooh. You know, I was on with Joel on Thursday, and I was talking about the defensive stats, and all the defensive metrics say Yainer Diaz is a better defensive catcher than Martin Maldonado. The metrics, not just my eyes, the actual statistics, all favor Yainer Diaz behind the plate. Every one of them. You know what Yainer doesn't do? He doesn't have balls just pop off his glove for no freaking reason. Yainer doesn't have any pass balls. You know how many Martin Maldonado has? 5. It's the most in baseball. Maldonado throws out 22% of runners, and Yainer throws out 39% of runners. Yainer's got the stronger arm and the faster pop time. Martin Maldonado was an elite defender. back in his day, he's 36 years old now. He ain't that guy. You keep throwing out guys hitting 118. People who bitch, oh, why is Abreu in the lineup? Why is Abreu in the lineup? Abreu's hitting 284 this month. He's getting OPS damn near 800. That's why he's in the lineup. Maldonado's hitting 118. He shouldn't even be in Sugarland's lineup. He'd have a hard time cracking the lineup for the Asheville Tourists. And that guy's, look, Dusty has his guys. There are certain people Dusty just has this illogical loyalty to, and Maldonado's one of them. Montero's another. And I don't want to, oh, well, you know, who else was he going to bring in? Well, he was going to bring in Hector Neris, that's who. If Neris was available to bail his ass out, then Neris was available to start the inning. The whole need for these guys to pitch in high-level situations, why is it Ryan Stanek, who's been a lot better than Maldonado, Rafael Montero for 2 months, Ryan Stanek can't come in the game in a high-leverage spot, but Montero just keeps getting thrown back out there. Stanek has had two games over the last 2 months where he had a bad outing. One game he gave up 4 runs, one game he gave up 3 runs. Outside of that, he's made 16 appearances the last 2 months and given up 1 run total. Also, he's cut the walks down for the month of June. Stanek's starting to look a lot more like Stanek. Montero's not showing any kind of recourse back to the guy that either he was last year or that he was in April. He's shown nothing that says he's going to go back to being an effective pitcher. Stanek's been showing it. At least that makes sense. Abreu had one bad game where he couldn't find the plate. For the most part, Abreu's been really good. Once Ryan Pressly figured out, all right, you guys got me leaning on a slider way too much. Guys are just sitting on it. He gave up a solo home run with Minnesota on a pitch that was down and away. The pitch wasn't even a strike. He was just sitting on it. All of a sudden, Pressly goes back to throwing the fastball more, and the slider's really effective, and I don't even think he's giving up a hit. Somebody said to me, well, you know, Pressly blew the lead yesterday. Pressly faced 6 batters, got 6 outs. It's not his fault that Major League Baseball's stupid-ass ghost runner gimmick, that guy scored. They had ground out in a fly ball. In, quote, real baseball. That never existed. The whole ghost runner thing is jackassery to begin with. I got no issues with Ryan Pressly. His stuff isn't diminished. His fastball's not slower. His breaking stuff is still sharp. He made an adjustment to not lean on the slider as much. Or if we're to believe, if we're to put the pieces together with, well, Maldy calls the game. Well, Pressly told Maldonado how to freaking call the game. You know, because, you know, Maldy's so important in calling the game that he's getting Presley's pitches all screwed up. So important. Pressly went back to throwing his fastball. Nobody can touch him. Looks just like old Ryan Pressly. I mean, holy hell, who'd have thought? No, the guy in the pen who is head squarely up the keister is Montero. And realistically, you could put anybody in the damn pen into a game before Montero. If you're not down 5, Montero's got no business being in a game. Let him pitch the 9th inning when you're down 6-1. Man, I'm just, there are certain, there's certain things that we need to see more Yainer. I've been saying they need to see more Yainer Diaz since like April 10th. For 2 months, Yainer Diaz had, what, 75 bats? That's why they carried 3 catchers. Dusty is old school. He's stubborn. He's set in his ways. That's where Dana's got to make an inroad. I'm not going to fire him, but I need him to make a couple of adjustments due to the amount of injuries that this team has had and the fact that Montero couldn't get you and me out right now. It's Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them, fresh and juicy, ready for the picking.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Pat training for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Paul will be back tomorrow, so you will get all the really cool hair. And I am going to surmise that since Paul is going to sleep probably 12 hours today, that tomorrow he will probably come in very well-dressed, shoe game, sock game on point, hair perfectly done, looking like he's about to go pose in GQ. I'm pretty sure you're going to get that, Paul, tomorrow. I would be surprised if Paul came in looking like, rolled out of bed, Paul.
Yeah, I would also be surprised. Also, whenever he wakes up today, which might not still have happened by now, actually, almost definitely he's still asleep.
Yeah, by like 7:30 tonight, yeah. He might wake up.
He got home at 6 a.m. It's still only, 11:30? So, yeah. I also think there's going to be, once he gets up to date on what happened in the world of sports this weekend, there's going to be a lot of pent-up bits and, creativity coming around. So, get ready for a lot of voices, a lot of songs, all the Paul stuff.
It is very, Paul, for a guy who's a good-looking guy, And I can say that in the most NH way possible. For a guy who's a good-looking guy and does have pretty good success with the ladies. I mean, I've seen some of the girls Paul's dated. He doesn't struggle in that department. He has a lot of anger. And I guess it's because he comes from Massachusetts,
I think that's
just
what it is.
It's just born into you. He has a lot of anger. And usually, Paul expresses his anger through comedy and sarcasm. He has to be super mad to just, lose it and just scream on you. He's got to be super mad. Usually, he will just mock you in a song or in a parody or with some kind of sarcasm.
Or he does, totally, great idea. He does that kind of
cool thing. Story, bro. Yeah. That's a Paul line, right? So, I feel like that's generally, when Paul is angry, Paul goes the sarcasm snark route.
Yeah, but I've seen it boil over. I've seen it boil from the sarcasm snark to the quiet stewing anger. I've not seen the next step, which I imagine is full on freak out. But I can't imagine being the Southwest flight attendant at 2:30 in the morning with the upset Paul on the plane.
I feel bad for those people because realistically, it's not the flight attendant's fault.
Absolutely not.
And they've been standing by just like you've been standing by. And sometimes when they have those flight delays, whatever it is, sometimes they wind up with a flight delay because, okay, we've been sitting waiting too long. Now the pilot is timed out and they can't fly. They're not legally allowed to fly. Yeah. They have to have their mandated rest period.
And now
we
got to
get
to
the pilot.
Yeah.
Or, hey, our flight attendants, their hours had to stop at this time. We don't have enough flight attendants for the flight, so we have to wait. It's not their fault. But they are the ones who wind up dealing with the psychos. And that's why I firmly believe that there should be lots of alcohol sales on flights. And if your flight is delayed, alcohol should be half price. If you could start getting half price booze. My flight is delayed, but since the flight was delayed, half price on all booze. There'll be no booze at the end of that flight. There'll be no booze. And the worst thing is half price booze. They don't even make it all the way down the aisle. Oh, yeah, we're sold out.
Yeah, exactly. You're sitting in row F. You don't get any.
That's the kind of thing that would wind up happening. So, look, the Astros are going to need to make moves. They've had too many injuries. They're going to need to make moves. And I think they need at least one starter. I would actually get two starters. They don't need frontline starters. They need guys they know can take the ball every fifth to sixth day and give them five decent innings. They probably need a bat. I am still very questionable about whether or not Uncle Mike is actually going to come back this year. And it's one of the reasons why I was so frustrated with Jim Crane's decision of, we're going to bring back Michael Brantley. We're not even going to look at anybody else. This is what we're doing. I have decreed it. It was literally like, because Jim Crane said so. And, well, unfortunately, Uncle Mike has now had two setbacks this year. And he hasn't taken a single at bat. And we're guessing his timeline right now is about the same as Jordan, so around the All-Star break, maybe a week after. But there is, again, no guarantee he doesn't have another setback and then winds up missing the season. Considering he's had two setbacks, there's no guarantee Michael Brantley comes back and looks like Michael Brantley at the plate. And that's what they need. They need him to be Uncle Mike at the plate. Even if he can't play the field, they need him to hit. And some of the guys that maybe a month ago you might have looked at and said, hey, these guys are probably going to be available. We could have these guys on the radar. Some of these guys are coming off the radar because, well, injury or the team is playing better. So the White Sox, like the White Sox are expected to be like basically trading anybody who's a veteran and is in the final year of their deal or maybe has like 1 year left with an option or whatnot. But Mike Clevinger and Liam Hendricks were both guys who potentially were going to be on the block. According to ESPN.com, both guys now are likely to be out at least through the All-Star break. Clevinger, who underwent his second Tommy John in 2020, actually was pitching fairly well when you consider, you know, the White Sox have been as bad as they've been. 3-4, 3.88 ERA, 53 Ks and 62 2/3. He's not the strikeout machine he used to be, but he's still a fairly effective pitcher, even though he has hideous hair and he's probably a terrible person. But that's not the guy that I would have been looking at. The guy I would have been looking at is Liam Hendricks. Liam Hendricks has been one of the best relievers in baseball for the last 5 years. And he was returning from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, made five appearances, and then wound up back on the IL with sore elbow. That could be he ramped up too hard. But Hendricks has been, you know, a three-time All-Star. And if you could add Hendricks to the back of the pen and have Presley and Hendricks at the end of the game, now you're locking it down. That is lockdown. And that really, you know, if you could get a healthy Liam Hendricks, that cures your Montero problem because you'd have Presley, Hendricks, and then Neris and Maton and Stanek, and you could push Montero all the way down the line. Abreu, like all, you'd have a ton of guys. Presley, Hendricks, Neris, Abreu, Stanek, and Maton. That's a very solid back of the pen. Those guys might not be available, and you have to question, look, if Hendricks isn't healthy and able to pitch by the time the deadline comes, do you, unless you're getting him for a song, do you want to take that risk? The guy's got a great resume. It's hard to imagine he'd go for a song. But if he's not back yet, maybe he does. The other side of the coin is, well, the San Francisco Giants, like, found it in the last month. They went from being miserable, and now they're in second place. I think the Giants right now would qualify as a playoff team in the National League. They're 44-34. They're 2.5 back of the D-backs who are scorching hot. Giants have won 8 of 10. They're a half game ahead of the Dodgers. The Padres, of course, continue to be a horrible disappointment. But 44 wins has them in the playoffs right now. So guys like Alex Cobb, starter, guys like Jock Peterson and Michael Conforto, power-hitting left-handed bats in the outfield, those guys probably are not going to be available because, well, they're in the race. They a month ago, you would have said, yeah, these guys are definitely going to be available. They've been scorching hot for a month. Now they're in the race. And because the trade deadline now is, you know, the end of July, and there is no more waiver deadline, there's no more, like how the Astros got Justin Verlander on August 31st at 11:59:59. Like, those deals can't happen anymore. There is no more waiver trade deadline. And with expanded postseason, more and more teams are going to think they've got a shot at the playoffs. Even if you lose, you got to the playoffs, you got some playoff money. Your fans reinvigorate a little bit. Hey, we got to the playoffs. Next year, we could be better. So there are guys who are probably, like, you looked at a month ago and started making your list of, all right, this guy could be a target, that could be a target. Well, that's five players that probably would have been on the market that are no longer going to be so. So they've got to, look, the Astros need to make moves. And while it might cost a little bit more to make the move earlier as opposed to later, because teams are generally inclined to try to wait till the last moment thinking they'll get a better return at that point, it would make sense for the Astros to be aggressive now, especially in the pitching department. They got a hole in a bullpen, and they got issues with the rotation. One more segment to go. I understand there'll be something resembling garbage time. And some big info regarding a Houston native. Next.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
All right, final segment of the show. Patrick Creighton for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant, show ESPN 975-925 before Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, Joe George, Cabiz coming your way in about 11 minutes. Big news of the fight world. Canelo Alvarez is signed to fight, and he is going to fight Houston native Jermall Charlo. Now, Charlo went to A-Leaf Hastings. Charlo hasn't fought in about 2 years. Canelo's had like seven fights at that time, by the way. Charlo is going to move up to 168. To take on Canelo. And this will be the first of three fights that Canelo has signed with PBC. Charlo's 32-0 with 22 knockouts. Had a decision over Juan Macias Montiel in June of 2021. Hasn't fought since. May have had some personal issues. Canelo's 59-2-2 with 39 KOs. Coming off a decision win over John Ryder that most boxing fans would say, who? Couldn't get his rematch with Dimitri Bivol, who when he moved up to fight at light heavyweight, Bivol basically handed him his ass. And of course, Canelo still ducking David Benavidez. But Jermall Charlo, Houston native, undefeated champion. Charlo is the WBC middleweight champ. He's going to go to super middleweight to take on Canelo, which is an 8-pound difference. And maybe Charlo normally might even be like a bigger, like walk around bigger than Canelo does. But Canelo's used to fighting at 168. And Charlo's used to fighting at 160. If he can overcome that weight disparity and still make his jab be a power jab and still land effective counter punches, this is either going to be a fight where Charlo really gives Canelo all he can handle, or if he can't handle the weight difference, it's basically just going to be Canelo doing whatever he wants. But I'm 100% rooting for Jermall Charlo. Even though I want to see Canelo fight Benavidez, I don't think Canelo will fight Benavidez unless he has a few more losses. He is dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge on David Benavidez, who is also undefeated. All right, let's get to garbage.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's Garbage Time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
This is not a remake of the 1994 movie Junior, which starred Arnold Schwarzenegger as a man who gets pregnant. This is a West Virginia transgender man who thought he was infertile getting pregnant by hooking up with somebody on Grindr. Ash Shade is a transitioning man who looked like a man, only pregnant. And documented how, felt so uncomfortable because I was carrying a baby while I was transitioning, and there was this horrible gender dysphoria, and people would look at me funny. You're a dude carrying a baby. Of course, people are looking at you funny. Biologically, that's not possible. Like, you chose this path. I'm sorry, if you choose, hey, you know what? I'm transitioning. But then while you're transitioning, you decide you're going to go hook up with some random guy and not use protection. You chose this life. I don't have any sympathy for this person. What did we say earlier about what happens when you get into risky situations, you get into public unknown situations? Bad stuff happens. And you chose to go through with it. Congratulations on being a pregnant dude. You were an ugly dude, which means you're probably an ugly woman too. Here's a fun one. My jailed fiance sent me a package in the mail with his little swimmies in a baggie to try to get me pregnant. The woman who goes by Nisha made a TikTok video, which of course has gone viral, talking about her felon fiancé, Twino. He's reportedly locked up for reasons that were undisclosed and is supposed to be released this coming year. They decided to try and conceive, quote, for fun.
That's always a good idea.
For fun. Yeah. So she waited till she was ovulating and then tried to impregnate herself with his swimmies from the baggie that he sent her. Fortunately, it failed.
Yeah, I don't think I, you know, I'm not a doctor, Patrick, but I don't think that this plan ever had a chance at success.
The idea that you wanted to conceive for fun? These are people who should never procreate, because they will only further taint the gene pool. They should probably be sterilized for the safety of the world. And of course, our weekly Mariah Mills update. The woman who is extremely scorned by Zion Williamson. So what did she do? She went on social media, I guess on the gram, because I think she's banned from Twitter at this point, and showed she got a face tattoo of Zion's name. Honey, if you want to make sure you've ruined your life and being an idiot on every social media platform wasn't enough, congratulations. Other than maybe this is where she held Zion's little Zion, No one in the world is ever going to look at you twice when you have a man's name tattooed on your face. This is another person who hopefully will never procreate and further damage the gene pool.
That's what got her so upset in the first place, is that she wanted to be the one that had Zion's baby for 18 years.
There is nothing like a wannabe baby mama scorned. And like all the really graphic stuff that she threw out about him. You know, he was doing this to her, doing that to her. I have all these videos. Like, this woman is not mentally stable.
No, I wouldn't say. I would agree.
I think the best case for her would be to get a lobotomy. That would be the best case scenario. It's going to do it for us today. Appreciate all our Texas tweeters, Twitchers, my man Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass. Paul will be back in tomorrow. Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, Joe George, the Killer Bees, they are in next.
You've been enjoying ESPN 97.5. Time for you to tell a friend about this brilliance.
He tells two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell their friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.